You are listening to eBuzz.com. Muhammad Rasul Allah
alayhi salatu Allah. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله عبدا اذا باع سمحا واذا اشترى واذا ابتغى او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected elders and brothers today it can be safely said that the age that we are living in can be termed as the age of consumerism. And what is consumerism? Consumerism is that myth that we live and we are only gratified if we consume, if we indulge, or we are buying something. It is that myth that we are only gratified by consumption. You've heard about the saying that we live to eat. So it's something like that. This is what we do. And today part of this problem is, with regard to consumerism, is that advertising messages hits the unsuspecting public from all four corners and from all directions. And what is advertising? Advertising in reality sell an empty shell. They don't sell any reality. It is only a shell that they are selling. And that shell glorifies an item to the extent that we feel it necessary to consume or to buy or to indulge in that particular aspect that has been advertised. It seems so amazing that this whole aspect of this, what is the message? Buy something, consume, indulge yourself, indulge your desires. It seems almost as if we are powerless to stop this aspect of advertising. It seems as if we have been robbed of our choice. Thus we find that items that were once upon a time considered to be luxuries today are regarded to be indispensable. We can't do without it. Social pressure, you know, the whole community has it. Then that particular aspect bounces off to our family pressure. Abba, don't you see that particular person has it? Why can't we have it? Egged on by relentless advertising. So you ain't seen nothing until you go to a particular place. Obey your thirst, buy something. Just do it. All this time. Relentless advertising. And that is also egged on by our insatiable desire. In our insatiable appetite. So we also like it. So we also like to buy more and more. It almost seems that it has robbed us of the choice to say no. In reality, it hasn't robbed us. We still have the choice to say no. We still have the choice to switch on or switch off the button. But somehow it seems that we have been robbed of our choice to say no because of all these factors. Now, these type of things might provide some sort of short-term gratification for those who can afford it. And I'm using this word short-term gratification very deliberately. It's only a short-term gratification. And it might fill in a vacuum that exists within us. But the more you buy, the more the meaningless of it increases. So by the time you've bought something, within 6 months that thing is out of fashion, outdated, you need to now upgrade it. So the more you buy, the more the meaningless of it all the time it increases. And it reminds us of the hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he spoke about greed for wealth. Our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that this greed for wealth by human beings many a times cannot be satiated. It cannot be fulfilled. And when a person has two valleys of gold, he will not be happy with it. He will still make more and more effort to get the third value of gold. And it is only the sand of the Qabr, only the sand of the Qabr that will satiate the greed of humankind. That's the only time his greed will come to an end. So in reality, this is in some way linked to that. Now together with this, it also has other repercussions. Now we as Muslims who have a higher moral teachings to follow and to adhere to, it seems we have also engaged in this particular crazy race. Let me say from the outset, I'm not talking about or speaking about the permissibility of it. Verily, to use something with the intention of convenience, with the intention of fulfilling your need, there is nothing wrong with it. But obviously people who can discern between right and wrong would be able to see sometimes the crass materialism, would be able to see the obsession with regard to these type of things, and would obviously make a difference between using something for your means, your convenience, and for fulfilling your needs, and going beyond that to become so obsessed with it that you start losing focus for higher purpose and higher things in life. We as Muslims, whom Allah Ta'ala has given us a high ideal and purpose, sometimes we have also engaged in this crazy race. And we must think about that incident of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala one day came to see our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seeing the condition of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where there was nothing in the room of great luxury, and the imprints of the mat upon which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lied upon were clearly visible upon the Mubarak body of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seeing the sparse and meager resources in the room of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala could not bear it, and he started and he burst out into tears. And upon this, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, why are you crying? And Umar said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, why shouldn't I cry? When I look at the Caesar and the Kisra, I look at the Roman and Persian Empire and look at the luxuries in which they are living their life in, and I look at the Nabi of Allah, look how he is living. Why should I not cry? And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying down, and he got up and he took his hands upon the chest of Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, O Umar, are you still in doubt about this matter? For them it's in this world, for us it's in the year after. When are we going to understand that there are a higher moral purpose of our life? There is a higher thing than in our life than to have the latest gadget or to have the latest model of car. By all means, if we have, Allah Ta'ala has given us the means, and if we use it to fulfill our needs, there is permissibility. But when that becomes the status symbol for us, when that becomes the be-all and the end-all of our life, when that becomes the means of our satisfaction, then obviously there is a problem with regard to it. But together with the moral side, there is another dimension of it. The other dimension with regard to it is that when all these things cannot be sustained within our own means of living, cannot be sustained by the income that we derive over the businesses that we are run, then we are compelled and then we are forced to borrow from others, whether it be from the bank or whether it be from other quarters. And it is unfortunate if this particular aspect comes about, that when we borrow, not for the sake of need and necessity, but for the sake of indulging in luxuries, and we then bring about upon us this aspect of debt upon us. And we've got to keep in mind, israf, living beyond our means, and lavishness, extravagance, competing with one another in materialism, are one of the major causes of death. Debt. Sorry. Maybe you can see it is also the other one also. And the Sharia commands us to be moderate in our living ways, in our living standards. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Ma'ala man iktasid. He who adopts moderation in his living standards, poverty will never overtake him. So we need to be moderate in our living standards, and we need to be thrifty in our financial matters. And we need to be prudent the way we budget and the way we do our things. You know, this is part of our Sharia. This is a part of the Sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus, when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was shown and spoken and shown the dream, where the person who was his former companion in the prison told him about the dream. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told him, فَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَعْكُلُونَ. What is the great lesson in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? When the dream, the interpretation of the dream was, for the first 7 years there will be plenty. You will have crops in abundance. There will be prosperity. There would be all types of wealth available to you. So what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam tell the community? That فَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوا فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Keep the corn, keep the produce, it is coming out of the ground, keep it in its shell, except that which you need immediately. The others, keep it away for the rainy day. Save it away for times when you might be in difficulty and you might need it. To be prudent in our financial matters is the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The way Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's example has been quoted in the Holy Quran by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we don't do that, then we become the victims of what is known as the aspect of debt. And there are various aspects to it. And part of staying away from debt, the first thing would be to achieve contentment and qana'at. Qana'at means to be contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. And wallah, my dear respected brothers, fortunate are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless with a contented heart. Very fortunate are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless with a contented heart. To us, to you and I, many a times prosperity depends upon the amount of possessions we have. This is a common understanding, and it's not maybe a fault of ours, it is a common understanding. Even the Sahaba Ikram had that understanding before Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught them otherwise. One day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Zar, "Oh Abu Zar, what is your definition of a person who is wealthy?" So Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala said, "O Prophet of Almighty Allah, a person who has great amount of possessions, he is wealthy and he is prosperous." "O Abu Zar, what is your definition of a person who is in poverty?" "Ya Rasulullah, a person who has less possession, he is in poverty." So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "O Abu Zar, poverty and prosperity has got more to do with the heart than the amount of wealth that you have." A person who is content, a person who is prosperous by his heart, he is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. He is happy with that. He is not obsessed with earning more. I will come to the aspect of earning more for other purposes. Then that person is wealthy. And a person who might have much, but he is all the time in grief that why can't I get more? In reality, he is poor, irrespective of the amount of position that he has. He said, the prosperity has got more to do with your heart than it has got to do with the amount of wealth that you have. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Al-qana'atu kanzul la yafna." Contentment is that great treasure from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can never be destroyed. Now look at the difference between wealth and contentment. Wealth has, can and will be destroyed. Contentment will not be destroyed. Contentment will not be destroyed because it is something to do with the heart. So wealth can be destroyed, contentment cannot be destroyed. And it was made mention about Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh, when he had said in his, that he made mention of one of his sayings, he said, we looked and we searched for prosperity in wealth. Then we realized that Allah hasn't kept prosperity in wealth. Allah has kept it in contentment. We initially searched for prosperity in wealth, then we realized Allah hasn't kept it in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in contentment. So it is a very great, obviously, there is nothing wrong in a person striving to accumulate more wealth, especially when he knows or he has the intention of utilizing it in the correct manner. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La hasada illa ala thnain." That, there are two people who are worthy of emulating. Two people worthy of being envy about. One of them is Allah grants him wealth and he utilizes it correctly. So it is natural to strive to sometimes accumulate or to have more wealth. But for it to become an obsession, where you're so obsessed with it that you forget your dues to Allah, you forget the rights of Allah, you forget the rights of your fellow human being, you forget the rights of your family, all of that is secondary. And only the pursuit of more and more wealth becomes a primary objective. Obviously, there's a problem. And this is what is meant by contentment. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives you with your normal striving, by all means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously the other aspect comes of utilizing it correctly. Right? Part of this whole aspect, it comes in a hadith that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so beautifully said, that man radiya billahi bil yasiri min ar-rizq. Another dimension of contentment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when a person is content with a little from Allah, then Allah is also content with little amal from him. You are content with the little Allah has given you, Allah is content with little amal. If you demand more from Allah, Allah will demand more from you. Then do you have the capacity to give more to Allah the way you're demanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quta. Oh Allah, make the means of the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sufficient for their needs. So the one aspect that should keep us away is a sense of contentment. Let us understand what is contentment. I've tried to explain it in the very short time that we have. The second aspect is, with regard to staying out of debt, is this aspect that being prudent, being moderate in our spending, our expenditure, in our living ways, being thrift in our financial matters, it develops in a person self-sufficiency, being independent of others. And wallah, this is a very great ni'mat of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the honor of a person depends upon him not being dependent upon another person. The honor of a person is upon him not being dependent upon another person. There is a very famous maxim and saying that when you don't ask of another person, then you are his equal. The moment you borrow from him, he is your master. And the moment you have given him something, you have lent him something, you are his master. So the moment you take from someone, then in many ways, you are his slave. And today, this is one of the aspects that we've got to keep in mind, as I will go on mention. So the second thing with regard to being moderate in our living ways, is we become self-sufficient. And we do not be dependent upon others. When we are not dependent upon others, is a means of our respect and honor. The third aspect is, now many a times there's another aspect that comes let us also give you with regard to contentment, one aspect that comes to mind, that while you contentment means you can strive to increase whatever Allah has given you. You know, another aspect with regard to wealth that we should always keep in mind, people sometimes don't regard this as one of the means of acquiring wealth, or one of the objectives of acquiring wealth, is I can use my wealth to empower other people. I can use my wealth to empower other people. My wealth, when I will use it as a means of granting risk to other people. Allah will make my wealth a means of other people's risk. So, you know, wealth can be, is in many ways, the way the ulama said, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi Azad in Fazail Sadaqat is neutral. It depends how you utilize it, makes it positive or negative. But many a times, it has in some certain things inherent in it that makes a person slant more towards the negative rather than the positive. But essentially it is neutral and you can use it for the positive also. Talking about contentment, sometimes contentment can also translate itself in our day-to-day living. So, if Allah has given you a certain amount of wealth where you can afford a particular car, like for example, you can afford a Toyota, right? Someone just briefly was that day telling me, you know, the Camry nowadays, so many ulama drive it, it is Senha approved. So if your means that you have is there to buy a Camry, you don't have to go and buy a Mercedes. That is contentment. Allah has given you that much, go and buy that. It's a means of your conveyance. So this is contentment. The second thing is self-sufficiency. The third thing that you've got to keep in mind is that contentment is not only for those people who have limited livelihood. A lot of people say, well, contentment is for those people who have limited. Allah has given me. So let me utilize it the way I want to. Now, that is another aspect. The third aspect is, after understanding the importance of contentment, self-sufficiency, many people have this, that contentment is for those people who have limited livelihood. I've got enough. Let me spend how I want to. My wealth. Many a times people are very lavish and extravagant and you tell them, I only got one or two children at the time of a wedding. Let me spend it upon my children. Let me spend it the way I want. Who are you to come and tell me how I should spend my money? My hard-earned money? And you telling me how I should spend it? Now that is a very, very, very unfortunate. The reason being, our level of spending in our Sharia is not only determined by the amount of wealth that you have. Let me repeat that. Our level of spending and our expenditure is not only determined by the amount of money that we have. It is determined by other moral and spiritual considerations. Our spending is also determined by other aspects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands governs that particular aspect. Not only by the amount of wealth that I have. This is an aspect that we always got to keep. We need, therefore, to protect ourselves from a false exposition of our wealth and to show people a point how wealthy I am. And to show people a point, I can also live up to your standard. You know, I can also live up to the Jonases. So all the time we are competing with other people. And it's unfortunate that we compete with one another in things that we're not supposed to compete with one another. Someone has very beautifully said, rather be a first-rate version of yourself than a second-rate version of someone else. Be a first-rate version of yourself. Who are you competing with? Who are you trying? So if a person has another particular brand of car, why is it compulsory for you to compete with him and buy the same brand of car? Or to buy the same type of one, so that you can be seen as an equal. It is unfortunate that our community has made these false standards that people look up towards. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi was one day going with his students. When there was a lavish mansion that was being built and was being put up, the students started admiring it. So Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi rebuked them and said, why do you encourage extravagance? What are you admiring? Why do you encourage extravagance? So it is the community that has set up these false standards that people are looking up towards all the time we are racing towards. And then we have other considerations with regard to our spending, not only the amount of wealth that you have. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat and drink. This aspect sometimes people remember. The other aspect, the next portion of the ayat people don't remember. Wala tusrifu and do not be wasteful. Now our ulama have said, as Mufti Zain al-Abidin rahmatullah alayhi, I remember hearing his talk, saying that there are two aspects the way you can be wasteful. One is on things that are necessary. Things that are important and necessary, but you go beyond the limit. You go beyond the limit in buying that which is essentially necessary. That is what Allah Ta'ala says, la tusrifu, do not be wasteful. And the other aspect is to buy things which are not necessary at all. And that is tabdhir, that is worse than israf. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, innal mubadhirin kanu ikhwana shayateen. Those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. Those who are extravagant. What is tabdhir? Tabdhir means spending money on things which are essentially not necessary. And things which are necessary, they also don't be wasteful. La tusrifu. And things that are not necessary at all, that is tabdir, that is extravagance. And people who spend their money in things that are not necessary, they are the brothers of shaitan. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And shaitan was ungrateful to Allah. In this ayat there is a hint that people who are extravagant are ungrateful to the favors Allah has bestowed them. And today we have this particular situation where all the time we are buying things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't know, and sometimes we don't even like, but we do only do it. This is the situation. Now all these things has repercussions, and part of this repercussion is, then we can't maintain it, then we have to borrow. Then we go and borrow from the bank or from others. Of course, borrowing from the bank has another spiritual dimension, where it becomes interest, and that is haram, and that is declaring war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that is another aspect. Right. So this then brings about this aspect that we're going to... And it is a serious situation which is starting to encroach even within Muslim communities. Just a week or so back, the governor of the Reserve Bank in South Africa made a statement and said that 65% of the disposable income of South Africans is used in the repayment of debt. For every 100 rand a person earns, average person earns in South Africa, 65 rand goes to the repayment of debt. Can you imagine this? 65% of it. And the Minister of Finance, not that he's at any particular type of Islamic authority, but made mention, he said, very soon if we continue in this vein, then our income would not be able to sustain our debt. I was reading this recently while doing this particular aspect, that there is an organization known as AmeriDebt, which is in America. And they said that the debt of the average of the people, the men on the street in America, is $1 trillion, out of which $400 billion is linked to the credit card. I'm not giving a fatwa with regard to using of the credit card, but this is one of the major pillars of consumerism. And we have moral and social consideration with regard to our spending. And what makes our spending even all the more, evil is when we know that people are in this world who are dying of hunger. Our own Muslim brothers and sisters are dying of hunger. They are dying of difficult situation. Then how does it justify this type of extravagance that we see that is plaguing our community and society? where people can sometimes spend 80 to 100,000 rand on the decor of the wall, of the hall in which a wedding is going to take place. Or a person would pay someone 250 or half a million to walk his daughter into a hall. How do we justify this? It is something that we seriously need to think about. Sirri Sikri Rahmatullah Ali is a very famous saint. And one day, in the midst of winter, in a masjid he was sitting, and he was shivering. And he was feeling cold. Someone said, but there's a shawl here, why don't you take that shawl? He said, I thought of taking that shawl, but this thought came into me, there are so many people who are, because of the weather, where it is cold, they don't have a shawl, they don't have a blanket. I can't go and give each and every one a blanket. So in sympathy for them, I have refused to wear the shawl, so that I can sympathize with the difficulty that they are facing. It's a very great level of taqwa, but at least, just look at the thought that counts. And then another aspect with regard to that is that we need to stay away from debt, and debt comes in various ways. Sometimes it is just quite evident. Another particular way is sometimes people get into debt on the basis of a prospective investment that is about to mature, and that thing doesn't materialize. It's happening more and more in our society and community. So you go into a debt commitment on the basis that a particular investment is going to mature, and that thing, nothing happens with regard to it, and then you are faced with a debt. I know of people, and I've got experience with regard to it, because I've spoken to people in this. It's sometimes people's repayment on the houses that they would like to buy goes into something like 80 to 90,000 rand a month. But for what, you ask? That I want to put up a particular palatial home to show people how I can also stay according to your own standards. And this is one of the aspects. Another aspect that is also becoming common is people are committing themselves to debt on the basis of what? On the basis of joint income, husband and wife. Now, firstly, Allah has made it your responsibility to look after your wife. And in doing so, you're not doing her any favor. It is a responsibility Allah has placed upon your shoulder. Allah says, I have made you in authority over the wife, bima faddalallahu wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim, because you are supposed to take care of her financial needs. So if you want to provide something, provide on your own steam. What people are increasingly doing nowadays is, on the basis of joint income, they're going into debt. Now what happens? Woman becomes sickly, and she can't maintain her own particular income, and we are settled with that, because on the basis that we had counted upon hers, her income. Why do that? From a Shari point of view, what is the reason for that? So these are the type of things that are becoming more and more frequent in our community. And I think I was making mention of it, inshallah, we will be able to stem this particular tide. Then of course another dimension is, if a person is overtaken by a calamity, his house burns down, or something happens, by and large he will be surrounded with sympathy. People will come and sympathize with him. People will even offer to help him. But when a person gets into financial difficulty because of his own reckless ways, even those people who sympathize with him, even those people who are his family, who normally help him, they also will start staying away from him. They also, if they help you, will say, but listen, now we will help you, but next time you get into this problem because of reckless way, don't expect our help. It's a fact. So if there is a natural calamity, people will surround you to come and help. But if you are going to get into difficulty because of your own reckless ways, then you will find even those people who normally sympathize with you, they will also back away from you, and they will stay away from you. All of this just gives us one aspect, that by we need to stay away from debt as far as possible. This is what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. So if we are moderate in our living ways, inshallah we won't need to borrow from others. We won't need to go and stretch out our hands, and we would not to go and disgrace ourselves in front of others. This is an aspect. You see, someone had said, to go and ask from someone is never easy. And especially when you're going to ask for someone on things that are not necessary, that is even more difficult. Someone gave a very good definition of an acquaintance. Now we know what is an acquaintance. Someone whom you know, sort of a friend. Someone said a definition of an acquaintance is someone whom I know well enough to borrow from him, but not so well enough to lend him any money. I know him well enough to borrow from him, but I don't know him that much that I can lend him any money. So this is an aspect. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, one day, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you seek so much protection from debt? Let me make mention of another hadith, and I will come back to this hadith. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to seek protection of Allah from debt. And he used to seek it in one dua, where he used to seek Allah's protection from debt and kufr in one dua. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, are you seeking protection of Allah from death together with this belief? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. Then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says another hadith that one day she asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, why do you seek Allah's protection so frequently from death? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the reason is that a person who is in debt, when he speaks lies, and if he makes a promise, he breaks the promise, he becomes morally vulnerable. Person is in debt, he becomes morally vulnerable. Now, let us look at our situation, now whether it be in our business, or whether it be in other situations. How many times it has happened? When you ask a person who is owing you money, where is the money? I have sent it in the post. And he doesn't even send it. Huh? Or, it's coming to you, just tomorrow I'll send it. The driver is on his way. Right? Or he conveniently forgets to append the second signature which is required on the check. Or he makes out a post-dated check when a current dated check has been agreed upon. Are these not day-to-day occurrences in our business world? Why is it so? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, stay away from debt, because a person, when he is in debt, he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks lies. And when he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought Allah's protection from debt. And you see this lies. I mean, this also, this, by the way, make mention with regard to it. It's an amazing attribute. Let Allah save all, each and every one of us. Because all other moral weaknesses, our ulama have written, it affects one aspect of your character. Other moral weaknesses affects one portion of your character. But lies, our ulama say, it affects the entire character of a person. It consumes the entire personality of a person. Right? So when a person has one other moral weakness, it can be said that he has this weakness, but by and large, he's still a good person. He's a trustworthy person. It happened. Safwan bin Sulaym radiallahu anhu says, a person came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, ayakunul mu'minu jabbanan. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, is it possible for a mu'min to be a coward? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, it is possible. It is not a good trait, but it is possible. Because a mu'min is a human being after all, and he can have other weaknesses. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, ayakunul mu'minu bakhilan. Can a mu'min be a miser? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is possible. Not good, but it is possible. Then the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, ayakunul mu'minu kadhaban. Can a mu'min be a liar? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never. There is accommodation for other weaknesses within the character of a mu'min. Possible. Not that it is good, but there is no accommodation for lies. But death makes you morally vulnerable to them. Now, after understanding that, so that was, it makes one aspect of the talk. The other aspect that sometimes it becomes necessary for a person, for his expenditure and his needs, for him to go and borrow money from someone. The Sharia has taken cognizance of this. And the Sharia has given guidelines both to the debtor and to the creditor. The creditor is the one who forwards the loan. He is the one who lends. The debtor is the one who takes. Right? He is the one who takes. So this is, now Allah Ta'ala has given both commands for both the debtor and the creditor. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has shown us a relationship which governs the relationship between the debtor and the creditor. The creditor is the one who lends. Allah Ta'ala has given him also certain guidelines. Allah has given the debtor certain guidelines. To the creditor, to the one who gives, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had said, due to the fact that a mu'min and a believer is not supposed to borrow unless when it is necessary. If someone comes to you with a genuine need and you have the wealth available, then try and assist him through the means of lending him money. And this is something that is very important. It is part of human compassion. It is part of the obligation of Iman. It is part of what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and our Sharia has termed as Qarz Hasana. Qarz Hasana is that particular qarz. No, it is regarded to be a loan, but in reality, it is something that where you help uplift a person. It's a moral support for a person who is in need without taking advantage of his financial situation. It's a moral support for a person who is in need without taking undue advantage of the financial situation of a person. And that's a very, very good thing. Unfortunately, today people borrow for unnecessary reasons. That is why when someone comes to you, even when he's in need, people are reluctant to give because they feel, you know, because of the whole atmosphere and environment that is pervaded in the community. But in reality, from a Sharia point of view, this is something that when a person is in need, you don't take advantage of him, but you go out to help and assist him. Now this stands completely contrast with a capitalist system where a loan is forwarded even to a needy person, with the intention of making profit out of that. This is an aspect. This stands completely contrast with regard to it. Now, you know, the normal argument that is forwarded by people who forward loans is this, that, you know, time. So they use this aspect with regard to time. And, you know, really, those people who forward loan with the intention of taking advantage, they are not compassionate to people. The banks, etc., are not compassionate. It is as someone had said, one of the ways and means of getting a loan from a bank is to show them that you are in little need of it. The banks normally give to people who are not in need of it. So some, one of the arguments that is put forward is this particular argument. But if I give someone something in 2005, by the time 2006 comes, the value of that is not the same. So time, according to them, time, the time that has elapsed, has increased the value of that loan. In our Sharia, you must keep in mind, time can be a factor for profit. It does not guarantee profit. Time can be a factor. You can, with the passing of time, can achieve profit, but it doesn't guarantee profit. And to understand, this is a very beautiful saying, that if time is money, and I have time, where is the money? So time can be a factor for profit. It's not necessarily, it doesn't guarantee profit. Anyway, this is an argument that is used. But we do not believe in that particular. Muslim does not look at forwarding a loan as a means of profit. In fact, the hadith of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beauty of Islam, sometimes we don't understand. Kullu karzin jara nafan fahuwa riba. Every loan that you forward with the intention of benefiting from it, it is riba. It is interest. You are not allowed to forward a loan with the intention of financial benefit. If you want to have financial benefit, then go into a partnership with the person whom you are helping. Go into a riba, mudaraba, or musharaka, whatever type of, go into a partnership with him. But loan is not there with the intention of gaining a profit. In fact, to help a person with a loan is sometimes, this might come as a surprise, even more rewarding in our Sharia than giving a person charity. Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala narrates a hadith which appears in Tibrani. It has been written in the doors of Jannah. The charity is rewarded by Allah tenfold. And helping a person with a loan, lending him money when he's in need, is rewarded 18-fold. The ulama have given three reasons for this. Why is sometimes forwarding a loan even more rewarding than giving a person charity? And one of that is this. When a person gives charity, his heart is no more attached to that wealth. He has given it, it is gone and forgotten, in the ideal sense of the word. Whereas a person who forwards a loan to a needy person, his heart is still attached to that. And when his heart is still attached to it, the sacrifice is greater. As the sacrifice is greater, the reward is also. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention with regard to this also. In Jam'ul Fawaid is also another narration that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, why forwarding a loan to a needy person is more rewarding than charity? Hazrat Jibreel gave this answer and said that a person will ask for charity even if he is not in need. Because, you know, he doesn't have to repay it. Whereas a person will only ask for a loan, will only borrow from someone, when in reality he is in need because he knows he has to borrow it. He has to repay it. There's a second reason. And the third reason, that Maulana Manzoor Nomani, Rahmatullah Ali, has made mention. He said when a self-respecting person requires some financial assistance, he would be very reluctant to go and accept charity. Just like that. Especially when he might have something, but just needs some extra financial assistance to get him through a particular phase. So a self-respecting person might be reluctant to accept charity, but would be prepared to borrow from others. So obviously and evidently, to give someone money like that as a loan is more rewarding than charity because you have taken his honor and dignity into consideration. And he said, that is why, he said that many a times, he said, in my experience, Muhammad Zul Nomani writes, many a times people would be prepared to forward charity to people who are in need, but are reluctant to forward a loan to some people who are in need. So this is an aspect that we've got to keep in mind. to forward a person alone, especially when he's in need, is part of uplifting people. And part of the reward, not only reward, sometimes reward even greater than charity. The second thing which our ulama have made mention is, that because in the ideal Islamic situation, people are not supposed to borrow unless it is necessary, we should be lenient in the realization of our dues. We should be lenient in the realization of our dues. And that is where the Quran says, وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَزِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. When a person is in straitened circumstances, then give him respite for some time, so that he be able to prepay his debt. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَزِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. وَأَنْتَصَدَّقُوا. And if you know that he is in great difficulty, and you wipe off the entire debt, it is even better for you, if you knew the reward Allah has kept for you. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, رَحِمَ abdan إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحَ وَإِذِ اشْتَرَى وَإِذِ اكْتَرَى. Allah's mercy be upon a person who is lenient in buying, in selling, and in the realization of his dues. He is lenient. He is not forceful with regard to it. Comes in a hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person will come before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah will ask him, oh my banda, what good did you do in this world? What good did you do? And he will say, Ya Allah, I did nothing. Other than this one quality and one attribute I had, I always used to be lenient with people. If people were owing me, I used to give them time. When the time came, they told me that I don't have money to pay you now, give me a little more time, I used to give it more time. And sometimes when they were in great need, I used to wipe it off. This is the only good thing I had, wallah. It comes in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Allah will tell him, that if you have been kind and considerate to my bondsman, and to my servant, and to my creation, then it is more worthy that I show kindness towards you also. Go, I have forgiven you. So that is another aspect with regard to it. Be lenient. It comes in one hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every day you give respite over and above the time that the person had to give the money, and you give him respite, for every day Allah will give you the reward of charity to that amount. Allah will protect a person from the agonies of the day of Qiyamah. The agonies of the day of Qiyamah for a person who give respite to a needy person. Not to a person who can afford. This is something that I will come to later on. Then another aspect is for the creditor is not to advertise the loan that he has given to the person. Not to advertise. There's another aspect with regard to it. Because we got to keep in mind, you are doing it to help us. You don't give loan with the intention of profiting. From the financial point of view, you are doing it to help people. Therefore, you should not advertise it. Now today there's another aspect. When we help someone, and then we expect certain things from him. And how many times we have heard people, Maru zakat khayne hamara juni hamara hambe bolech. How many maro sabko khayne hamara hambe bolech. What you la tuqtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Allah Ta'ala says, do not cancel the reward of your sadaqah and charity by reminding other people with regard to the charity that you have given. Qawlum ma'aruf wa maghfirah. To tell a person nicely you can't help him is better than to help him and then inconvenience him by such talk. Rather don't give him. If you are going to all the time remind him with regard to that. Then another aspect is, do not take advantage of the person because you have given him something. Because you have lent him something. And it is made mention in the hadith. This is an amazing hadith. إِذَا قَرَضَ أَحَدُكُمْ. If you have given someone a loan, and that person comes to you and gives you a ride in his conveyance, unless you had such a relationship before giving him a loan, don't even sit in his conveyance. Because you are taking advantage because of the loan that you have given. If someone, you have given someone a loan, and he wants to give you a ride in his conveyance, don't accept it unless you had such a relationship before. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was so considerate about this, that it is made mention, that anyone whom he used to lend money to, he shouldn't even walk in the shade of his house. He used to avoid walking in the shade of his house, saying that I didn't give him a loan to benefit. And even walking by the shade of his house, people would say, because you gave him a loan, you are taking advantage of it, you walk in the shade of his house. So he used to avoid walking in the shade of the house of the person who he had forwarded a loan. Remarkable etiquettes from our Sharia. Now this is another aspect with regard to it. Now with regard to the debtor. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives advice to the debtor. Firstly, of course, we have made mention, you should not unnecessarily take loans. You should not unnecessarily borrow from people. Secondly is, his intention should be very clear. His intention, it comes in a hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala in Ibn Majah, that it comes in that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am with a debtor as long as he took the money for something that was necessary and it was not for something that was unnecessary. I am with him. It comes in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that whenever a person takes a loan and his intention is to pay it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the means of him pay it. Man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu ada'iha addallahu anhu. Whoever takes the wealth of a person and has the intention of paying it, inshallah, it comes in a hadith, Allah ta'ala will have it paid. And whoever has the intention when borrowing money of not paying it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy his wealth. So much so that it comes in a hadith in Targhib and Tarheeb, which I just read, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when you get married to a woman and you agree upon a fancy dowry for whatever reason, to woo the woman or whatever, to show how good you are, how wealthy you are, and you don't have intention of paying it, and you don't pay it, you will appear before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an adulterer. You can't play around with commitments. When your intention must be very clear from the very beginning that you want to pay it, not that you take it with the intention of not paying it. And when you have this intention, it is known, you will find that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the means. One of the very famous incidents that appears in the books of a hadith, it's a very long incident, is about Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And when he was on the day he passed away and he was martyred, he told his son that I have particular qaraz, I have debts, and I have property. I don't have much wealth, cash money, but I have property. If something happens to me, it is your responsibility to pay it. After he passed away, Abdullah bin Zubair came and checked up with regard to his wealth, some 2 million dirhams that was in debt that he was owing. And the reason why he took that debt was not because that he had lived beyond his means, or he had taken and he had borrowed unnecessarily. But people, because of his trustworthiness, because of his stature, his wisdom and his piety, people used to come and leave money with him. And he used to say, but I find it very, very difficult to keep people's amanat. So rather give it to me as a loan. So he used to take the loan rather than accepting amanat of people. Right? In this particular way, this debt of his increased. And when he died, it was over 2 million. So Abdullah bin Zubair and Zubair radiallahu anhu told his son, oh my son, anytime we have difficulty with regard to the repayment, ask my master for assistance. So Abdullah bin Zubair asked his father, who is your master? He said, Allah is my master. So whenever he was in difficulty, there was certain property that he had, no cash money, over 2 million. So many of the close people said, we will wipe away. We don't need to pay. He said, no, inshallah, I will pay each and everyone. I will pay each and everyone. I will clear off my father's debts. And then whenever he was in difficulty, he used to lift up his hands and do I say, oh master of Zubair, help and assist me. Then he repaid each and everyone's debt. He fulfilled his father's debt. Then when the other heir said, now that we have fulfilled it, give us our share. He said, no, I will announce at the time of Hajj. For 3 or 4 Hajj, it comes in narrations, he announced, is there anyone that Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was owing money, that he come and collect it from his son. After 4 Hajj, when he made the announcement, no one came. He then distributed the money amongst the heirs. And when he distributed the money amongst the heirs, he had 4 wives of Zubair radiallahu ta'ala had. Each wife got 1,200,000 dirhams. Barakah of having your intention clear of repaying your debts. So people's intention should be clear. Another aspect is, we must express gratitude to the creditor. The debtor must express gratitude to the creditor and make shukr for the assistance that he has rendered. That is also part of the etiquettes. And especially the time of repayment. The time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Jew came. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken money and borrowed money from him. And at the time of repayment came, he was very harsh. And he came down harshly upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, you people of Abdul Muttalib, whenever you take money from people, you don't repay it on time. You can imagine how the Sahaba became angry. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to fix him up. Look at what he's saying. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed both of them down and said, oh Umar, It is your, what you should have done was, you should have asked him to ask for his repayment kindly, and you should have asked me to graciously give him back his repayment. That is what you should have done. He didn't get angry. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to be angry when a person asked for the repayment. He did not get angry. Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah, he also loaned Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam some money. And when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repaid it, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him a lot of dua. And said, Barakallahu lak, may Allah Ta'ala bless you, may Allah bless your family, may Allah bless your possessions. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the recompense of a creditor who lends money and the debtor is repaying it, the recompense for that is to say kind words and make dua for him. And to praise him and to make hamd. So we should be grateful to a person who forwards us a loan. Then the other aspect with regard to it is, we must not unduly procrastinate and delay in the payment of our debts. Matlul ghani zulm. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, the unjust procrastination and delay of an able debtor is zulm in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have money, but you don't go and pay back to your creditors, then you have committed an act of zulm and oppression. And this is something that is remarkable. Firstly, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, you got to keep in mind that the creditor has the right to make a demand on the right date, on the due date. On the due date, whatever has been agreed upon, if it is a time for that and he comes and asks you, you got no right to feel offended. It is his right to ask you for repayment on the due date. Yes, you can ask him, forgive me, I'm having some difficulty, allow me some time. Nowadays what happens is amazing. When you go and ask the person on the time which is agreed upon by both parties for repayment, what happens is that the debtor turns around to the creditor instead of being grateful. Who do you think you are? You think I'm going to steal your money? You think I'm going to steal your money? I'll keep you on the time, go from here. SubhanAllah, he's got the right to ask for his repayment because it's his money. But ulta, what happens? You go and abuse him. When in reality the Sharia says you got to be thankful to him providing and forwarding that loan. So, and just remember this hadith, a procrastination and delay of an able debtor is zulam. Many a times also sometimes happen, a person goes and asks for a repayment and said, but you were supposed to give me your money on this particular date. Then why don't you pay it? Things are tight at the moment, brothers. You know, things are tight. The business is bad. And things are, you know, don't you know the climate of business and things are not going well and petrol has also gone up and this and that. All of a sudden, he tells you his things are tight. After 1 week, you hear he's gone for Umrah. SubhanAllah. What happened to the tightness of the barakatim? It is wrong. It is incorrect for you to do such a thing. Even to go for nafil hajj when you're leaving behind people whom you are owing money. It is not correct for you to do so. There are serious repercussions. And you see, the Sharia has gone to such an extent with regard to providing security for the creditor. For example, Allah Ta'ala has the longest ayat in the Holy Quran. It does not refer to our salat, or our zakat, or our hajj, or our zikr. Not that these are not important. But the longest ayat in the Holy Quran refers to our mu'amalat, our financial transactions. And the beginning of that is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَاكْتُبُوا. Two things. Allah has told both the debtor and the creditor that whenever there is a loan transaction, firstly, keep it up with a time for repayment. And the second thing, write it down. So that it serves as a guarantee that there is such a loan that is supposed to be payable. And the second thing, a part of the security Allah Ta'ala has granted to the creditor is the means of kafil, a guarantor, to provide a guarantee. It's also part of Islamic fiqh. In fact, many of these aspects that today we find with regard to a guarantor, it comes directly from Islamic jurisprudence. So to further strengthen the loan that you have forwarded, the creditor has also got the right to assist or to insist upon a kafil, a guarantor. If the debtor is unable to pay, there can be another person who stands on his behalf, who will pay it on behalf of the debtor. He is the guarantor. So Sharia is taken into consideration with regard to the security it provides for the creditor to get back his money. Now, and the greatest thing with regard to the getting back of the money is the great emphasis and the warnings the Sharia has sounded with regard to people who have debts and who have borrowed money and they don't repay it. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Nafsul mu'minu muallaqatun bid-deen. That the nafs and the soul of a believer is suspended with his debt. It means if he has done such good deeds in this world which makes him worthy of Jannah, if he has a debt, Allah won't put him into Jannah until that payment is made. The soul of a person is suspended with his debt. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, يَخْفِرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلَّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. Allah will forgive the sins of the shaheed, all except deen, except the debt. A person one day came to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I go out in the path of Allah, if I go and fight in the path of Allah, and I go and sacrifice my wealth, sacrifice my life, I become a shaheed, will Allah forgive me? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And then when he was going out, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come back, come back. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has come with a wahi and said, Allah will forgive you provided you don't have any debt. Even in such a situation, you will not be forgiven by Allah until you have repaid your debt. And one of the most amazing incidents with regard to this is the example of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with which I will conclude. And that is, one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a person's janazah. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the janazah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, that did this person leave behind any debt? Is he owing people money? Someone said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, he's owing certain people money. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did he leave enough wealth for that debt to be repaid? People said, no, he didn't have enough debt. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you go and perform janazah upon your companions. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked away from them. That Nabi of Allah, that Nabi, that even a person like Abdullah bin Ubay, when his time of janazah came, when Abdullah bin Ubay came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, my father has passed away. And he has asked, and the family said that you must give your kurta. Perhaps he will be forgiven. He was a hypocrite, the arch hypocrite, who was not a mu'min, who had given Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much taklif. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took off his kurta. This was a compassion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Took out his kurta and said, if his forgiveness can be attained by my kurta, then take this kurta also. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform his janazah. Allah then revealed, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنُمْ مَا تَعَبَدَوْا وَلَا تَقُمْ. Don't stand, don't go and perform the salat of such people who are hypocrites. And then Allah Ta'ala says, إِسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَلَا تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. If you go and ask forgiveness on his behalf 70 times, Allah also won't forgive him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon that said, if I knew that Allah would forgive him by me asking forgiveness 70 times, I would have asked forgiveness 70 times for him. That Nabi of Allah who is so compassionate and merciful to people. And that at the time of janazah of a companion who had left behind a debt and has made no arrangements for his repayment, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you go and perform your janazah namaz. Ali radiallahu anhu got up and said, Ya Rasulullah, I take guarantee that I would repay his debt. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I will perform my janazah salah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding. We have tried to cover all aspects pertaining to this topic, looking at consumerism, the effects of consumerism from the moral, spiritual point of view. Then from one, this particular aspect and this point of view, that many times it leads us to incur debts unnecessary. What are the repercussions of that? And part of the repercussions is, it's a humiliation in the day, it's a disgrace in the day, and it is a worry in the time of night. Allah, there is no more truer expression with regard to debt that you can. And then the spiritual considerations, we also look at certain guidelines, both for the debtor and the creditor, which have been provided by our glorious Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal and practicing upon our deen in each and every matter. In that lies our salvation. وآخر دعوانا
دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام نظر يسقي دنيانا دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام يوصلنا إلى مرسانا دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام نهر يسقي دنيانا دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام دين الإسلام سلام يوصلنا إلى مرسانا يا أيها العالم